to God. His beautiful wife. The Lord, I'm a blessed man. And as he was saying, you know, I'm the pastor for the Spanish ministry. We have actually been here for 10 years. You may have not seen us, you know, because we're always in the Spanish ministry. I've always worked in Spanish ministries. I've been in the Lord for 28 years. And before that, we were serving in another church for 17 years when we came here. And the last 2 years, I've been serving as the pastor in the Spanish ministry. So I am very blessed to be here this morning for the first time sharing the Word of God in English. You may have noticed that I have a slight accent, okay? So may the Lord give you the gift of interpretation when I say things, you know, and I say in my own way, or if I say something in Spanglish, right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you, and we ask that you meet us this moment, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for this place that you've given us, Lord, that we can get together and just come at your feet, Lord, and just praise you, Lord, and feel your presence, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You guide me this morning, Lord. Help me in Jesus' name. Amen. May the Lord also open up our hearts and our minds to his word. Amen. So please turn to Psalms or Psalm. Is it Psalm or Psalms? Is it with an S? In Spanish, it's with an S. Salmos. Psalms 27. We'll be covering verse 1 through 6. I have one good news, is that I've only been, you know, pastor and in Spanish for 2 years, so I am not able to teach for a full hour on Hebrews 11:5 like Pastor Brandon did last Sunday, which was a great message. I've been watching it online. By the way, it's not the same as being in here, you know, online. It's just nothing like the acoustics in here, you know, and just, you know, being here with everybody. So, you know, so we're going to be out of here, you know. I'm not going to be here for an hour, okay? But if the Lord takes over and we keep on going, then we'll go into the next service, the Spanish service, okay? And then I'll turn it into Spanish, but. So Psalm 27. When I was asked to share today, about a month ago, I almost died. And I've been praying to the Lord to guide me into what topic to talk about today. And I don't know if it was just the thought of being here, you know, teaching in English for the first time, but the word that came to my mind and my heart was fear. Are you sure, Lord? Fear. So that's what I'll be talking about today, fear. Pastor Brandon was talking about faith last week, right? Relentless faith. We'll be talking about fear, and the title of this Bible study is Trusting God in Times of Fear. Isn't there a lot of fear in the world right now? Yeah. There's a lot of fear, especially during this pandemic. I was reading an article by the Chapman University, and they cite this book, a book titled Fear Itself, The Causes and Consequences of Fear in America. And the article stated that Americans live in a culture of fear. We live in a culture of fear. And this university, they've been doing a study or a survey every year since 2014. The survey is called America's Fears Survey. And they have about 95 different fears or questions in the questionnaire that each participant has to mark. They have to answer about that fear, whether they are very afraid of that, they're afraid, they're slightly afraid, or not afraid. So for example, speaking in public, many of us would say very afraid, right? If there's a question in there, and I think there is, how afraid are you of snakes? I would write very afraid, because I am very afraid of snakes. If there's another question about lizards, I will say that I'm afraid. I used to be very afraid. I was telling our brothers and sisters in the morning service at 8:30. It was still morning, but I was telling them that when I went to Cal State LA, there's a parking lot C, if anybody went there. In parking lot C, there's a stairway that is made out of wood out in the open. And one day I was walking there with a friend of mine. We're going to class. The engineering department is right there. And we're going there, and there's a lizard right there in front of me, and I hadn't seen it. And when I saw it, I said, ah! And he just started laughing because he said, you scream like a girl. Because I am scared of lizards. I am not very afraid anymore. I'm just afraid of them. And the reason why I'm just afraid is because the backyard is full of lizards, right? And that's how we learn to live with them. And also because we know they eat bugs, right? So they eat, you know, we have less crickets right now. So let me share a list of the fears that came out of this survey from top to bottom. The number one fear that Americans fear the most, number one, is corrupt government officials. 80% of participants said that they are very afraid or afraid of corrupt government officials. Well, fear number two, the death of a loved one. So most Americans are more afraid of dirty politicians than losing a loved one, according to that, to this survey. Number three, a loved one contracting the coronavirus. This was the most recent survey, which was done January of last year. I'd like to see what the new one says. And then the list goes on, you know, from top to bottom. That next one, widespread civil unrest, which we saw a lot of that. The pandemic, economic or financial collapse. The fear, you know, of another recession. Not having enough money to pay the rent. We can relate to that, right? Biological warfare, cyber terrorism, terrorist attacks. But what's funny is at the bottom of the list, because there's all 95 of them, right? So at the very bottom of the list, and these are the ones that less people said that they were afraid or very afraid. And I can't believe, but believe it or not, there's one for, are you afraid of zombies? You can look it up. Chapman.edu, okay? I'm not making this up. And yeah, people are afraid of zombies. The next one is people are afraid of whites no longer being the majority in the United States. Then people are afraid of blood. People are afraid of Muslims too, they put that. They're afraid of immigrants. And the one that my friend Joe and I, my brother Joe and I think that shouldn't be at the bottom, but should be at the top, is that people are afraid of clowns. Because there are some really scary clowns. I think this should be at the top, not at the bottom. And the very last one is the fear of animals, like dogs, you know, any kind of animal. So there's a lot of fear in the world right now. We're living in a culture of fear. There's one kind of fear for every one of us, pretty much. We got a devotional this Friday from In Touch Ministries. The devotional was titled The Landmine of Fear. No, landmine, I hope I'm saying it right, landmine, right? A place where, like, it's, right? There you go. Well, it said that though some apprehension is healthy, fear shouldn't be a way of life for the Christian. So it's okay to be scared, to be afraid. But it shouldn't control our life. It shouldn't be our way of life. And they cited in the devotional Isaiah 41:10, which all of us, you know, are familiar with, which says, I don't know if it's up there. Did we put it on, or is it only online? Okay, Isaiah 41:10. Well, let me read it for you. I thought it would be up there. It says, fear not, and I'm sure you know it by heart, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Right? We know it in Spanish. Learned it in Spanish. So the landmine of fear. So we do live in a world or a culture of fear. It's like we're walking in a minefield of fear. But the Lord has given us the tools to detect those landmines and to be able to walk around them or over them. If you want to write this down, if you take notes, please write, the Lord has given us the way not to be consumed by fear through His Word and His fellowship with us. The Lord has given us the way not to be consumed by fear through His Word and His fellowship with us. Psalm 56, verse 3 says, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. I think that's a verse we can memorize right now, right? Isaiah 56, 3. Whenever I am afraid, I can trust in you. Now, it is clear that the focus of David in Psalm 27 is on his trust in the Lord. So let's go in your Bibles to Psalm 27. Are you all there? Okay. Psalm 27, verse 1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Three amazing things that David says that the Lord is to him. The Lord is his light, his salvation, and the strength of his life. Now, the word light that it's in the text right here is the same word in the original that comes out at the very beginning of the Bible in Genesis 1:3, where it says, let there be light. When the Lord said, let there be light, and there was light, it's that same word right here. So is that a very first thing that we see in the Genesis that is the first thing created, and is that in which all life depends? How many depend in the Lord? So your life depend in the Lord. Amen. The Lord is my light. It's also the same word, but in the Greek, in the New Testament, in John chapter 1. Now, don't you love the way John chapter 1 is so similar to Genesis chapter 1, the wording? Now, I don't know if it's up there. John 1, 1 through 5 says, so it's online, not here. Oh, there it is. Okay, thank you. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Amen. Amen. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So the Lord is my light, and is that everlasting light that is mentioned in Isaiah 60:19. The Lord is my light. I don't know if you got a letter this last month from Southern California Edison saying that they were going to change your rate. Did you get it? Yeah, we got it too. They said they were going to move us to something called a TOU, time of use, right? Rate plan. It said that if you didn't want to go into that rate plan, that you should contact them by the 24th. Now, he's going to be calling them on the 24th, right? I mean, or during that time. So I didn't call him. So starting January 1st, the rate, you know, stated that from 4 to 9 is going to be more expensive, right? From 4 to 9 p.m. So if you come over to our house around that time when it's already dark, you're going to see that you're going to think that we're not home. Because my kids, we all did that. You know, we only turn on whatever light we are using at that moment from 4 to 9. Everything is dark in the house, around the house. So we're trying to save energy. But comes 9 o'clock, we're like, yeah! We turn on the lights, and it's kind of like this light that's hitting me right now that makes me feel like we're cooking tacos al pastor over here. You know, tacos al pastor is this thing, right? And this light, and they come. They call it a pastor because people just come in. You know, pastor, right? Pastor. So then the light goes on, and we're like, like vampires, right? And I'm thinking about buying those goggles, you know, night vision goggles. Anybody know how much they cost? You know, to save some more money, you know, we could just wear them around the house all night, right? The Lord is our everlasting light, brothers and sisters. Everlasting. And because it cannot be turned off, that means that we can walk in the light all the time. That we will not walk in darkness, that we will not stumble and fall. Therefore, whom shall I fear? Why am I afraid if the Lord is my light? The second thing that David says is, the Lord is my salvation, in this verse. So the Lord is not just the light that guides me, the light that helps me not to fall down, but he's my salvation. He is the one that shows up to save me, to deliver me. So why then shall I fear? Or whom shall I fear? Now, Paul summarizes this verse in Romans 8:31. I'm pretty sure you know Romans 8:31. It says like this, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us, right? Now, what does Paul mean by all these things or these things? What is Paul talking about these things, right? Well, if you read chapter 8 of Romans, all these things that he's talking about is all the things that work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those that are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. So the good and the bad, it's talking about the good and the bad, it's talking about your worst fears, it's talking about the things that you don't fear at all. They all work for good. Amen? It's talking about the sufferings too. Before that, in verse 18, it's talking about the sufferings of this present life, which are not worthy of being compared to the glory, with the glory that's going to be revealed on us or in us. Jesus also said in John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now, tribulation, we know tribulation is the same as suffering, right? And be of good cheer is another way of saying, don't be afraid. Fear not. Take courage. Oh, wait a minute, Lord. So you're saying that I can have peace, but I can also have tribulation and courage? How about I just take the first one and the third one, right? And leave the tribulation aside. But there's one very important thing that the Lord says right in this verse, how he finishes this verse. He says, I have overcome the world. So if he has overcome the world, that means that we can be in the middle of the tribulation and peace will be covering us. Encouragement will be lifting us up. And all because he is our light. He is our salvation. Amen. Tribulations are part of life. Fears are a part of life. Being afraid of clowns is a part of life. Lizards, snakes. Right? I mean, fears were created for our own good. Because if, for example, if I I had an encounter with a lot of snakes back in El Salvador. I'm from El Salvador. And if I didn't fear them, I probably would have been bitten by one. I wouldn't be here. So it's a defense mechanism to have fear. But the thing is that we don't have to be consumed by fear, because we have His Word and we have His presence to help us through even our worst fears. So the Lord is my salvation. He makes Himself present to rescue me, to deliver me. Now the third thing that David says is the Lord is the strength of my life. And the word strength here in this verse, in the original, is defined as a place. It's defined as a means of safety. Now, that's why the NIV uses the word stronghold instead of strength. Now, Spanish, you know the language that is spoken in heaven? Did you know that? I'm serious. When you get to heaven, you're going to find a sign that says, se habla español. But solamente. Only. In Spanish, it uses the word fortress. Now, a fortress is a fortified place. It's a large, permanent fortification, like a fort, right? It's a fortress. So we could say, as it says in Spanish, in the original text, the Lord is the fortress of my life. So He's not just the strength that keeps me going, the strength that keeps me from fainting, but He's also the strength or the place where He keeps me hidden and protected inside that fortress. David said that the Lord is his support, the support of his life. He's who He keeps him alive. And nobody had the power to take his life while he defended him. If you'd like to write something down, please write this. God is a fortress to those who put their trust in Him. God is a fortress to those who put their trust in Him. Therefore, of whom shall I be afraid? Amen. Verse 2. When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Now this word stumbled in the original, it's kind of funny to me because one thing, it's hard for me to pronounce it, but one of the definitions of stumbled in English, of course, is totter, like a teeter-totter, right? Totter is what boxers do when they get hit really hard in the head and their legs wobble, their knees get weak. That's tottering. You may have seen, if you saw the fight, you know, the Canelo Alvarez fight in November, hit a guy named Plant, right? Caleb Plant? In the 11th round, you see him like totter when he hits him in the head, right? And before he knocked him down, for those who are boxing fans over here. Now, David didn't have to hit his enemies. He didn't have to touch his enemies. They tottered on their own. They fell because the Lord is his light. The Lord is his salvation. The Lord is his fortress. Amen. Verse 3. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. As I told you before, I am from El Salvador. And in El Salvador, there was a civil war in the 80s. And I was 14 years old, and I didn't know the Lord back then. And I wish I'd known the Lord, and I wish I'd known this verse that I just read right now. But thinking about fear, I just remember that this situation that we were in, where I was petrified, I was paralyzed with fear. And it was the day that the Civil War in the 80s, in 1983, came to our hometown. And we lived in the park right in front of the bank, like the corner. It was like right in the corner across the street was a bank. And the streets over there, brothers and sisters, they're not like the streets that we have here. The streets are very narrow. So we're talking that the bank was from this house that we were living in, was very close. And so around 4 in the morning, where this explosion was so intense that all the front of the house, all the windows broke. The door was open wide. Now the house was up on a hill by the grace of God, and the bedrooms were down on that hill where we were sleeping. There was nobody there sleeping in the front. The room that was right in front of the bank in the corner belonged to the owner that passed away, and the room still had her things in there. And we were renting this, you know, nice house from her niece. And so the bomb just goes off. It turns out that the guerrillas had come and they were setting explosives in front of the bank. And so we hear this loud thing. I mean, it just made the whole house shake. And I remember looking up into the windows at the top. And the windows didn't break. It's those kind of windows that are open and closed, right? They're kind of like that. And they were open, so they didn't break, but we were paralyzed. We just stayed there, me and my brother. I was 14 years old, he was 15. And then my father just comes to get us, and his girlfriend at that time comes with him. And that lady, or that young woman that we were renting from, and she's holding her 2-3-year-old son. Boy is like scared out of his mind, screaming. And then my father just took us out. And as we go outside in the patio, the moonlight, I see the face on this woman, this young mother, 22 years old, holding her baby. And all these bombs are going off. And I've never seen so much fear in somebody's face. And I was scared. My brother was scared. But that just took the level of fear to a whole new level. To see her like that. So my father just took us to the corner farthest from the bank, and there's this thing called a pila. A pila is this sink made out of concrete. It's kind of thick, right? And holds water, and there's a place to wash clothes. And so we're just there. We're just hiding there, and bombs are going on and off. This moment, we hear this bomb go off, and we hear like a helicopter thing, and I hadn't thought about this in a long time, and I don't know, but it just came to me when I was studying this, when I was thinking about fear. And I hear this thing just like that. We look up, and it just hits the tree in the patio and just breaks it in half. And it was a piece of metal from the curtain of the bank. So we just stay there and waiting and waiting. My father then goes to see to the front when the bombs, you know, they were less frequent. And he goes out to the front. He goes and sees in the living room, there's a guy right there. The door is wide open. The guy is armed to the teeth. He's got like a belt with grenades and the whole thing, an M16 right there, and he's just taking cover. I mean, we had never seen something like this. My father just went back and told us what had happened. And I just thought to myself, this is it. We're goners here. The door was open. I mean, that sink was not going to hold us. Then the explosions began to stop, and they stopped completely. The sun came up. And then by God's grace, nothing happened to us that day. That was our first experience. There were other experiences that we went through. I mean, things got worse after that. But before that, that's when my brother and I called my mom, who was here already in the U.S., and said, we want to go live with you, because it got really ugly. And I heard that it got even worse after that. And about a year later, I came here to the U.S. on December 24th, 1983. 2 weeks later, they threw me in school, which I'm very grateful for that. But imagine, that's another fear, going into school and you don't know a word. The only thing I knew is, I am a new student. And I would tell people, I am a new student, leave me alone, right? Thinking that, but, oh yeah, welcome. And then they start talking to me. I'm like, I am a new student. No entiendo. You know, I didn't know the Lord when that situation. I wish I had known him, but I didn't know him, but I knew he knew me. He knew me, and he guarded me. He took care of me that day. The war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. Now, confident, to be confident is to trust. It's not like to be confident, like, yeah, I can do this. Which I have nothing of that coming up here. But to be confident is to trust in him, and that's what we have to do. That's what I'm doing right now. I will be confident because the Lord is my light, because the Lord is my salvation, because the Lord is my fortress, the fortress of my life, the strength of my life. Whom shall I fear then? Verse 4, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. I said previously that the Lord has given us the way not to be consumed by fear through his word, we're just reading, and through his fellowship with us, his presence. And David, in this text right here, in this verse, he expresses his desire for God's presence. His desire is that he may dwell in the house of the Lord. Dwelling means to make permanent residence. Amen? The biblical definition of dwelling is to abide as a permanent resident. It's like we see in Psalm 91:1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So David wished that he could just move all his things into the tabernacle and just live there, and just be surrounded by the beauty and the presence of the Lord. That's why in Psalm 16:11 says, you will show me the path of life, and your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Now the word pleasures in the heavenly language called Spanish, I like the way the Spanish one says. The word for pleasures in Spanish is delicias. What does delicias sound like? Delicious, right? To me, delicious is like going to Portos and getting some pastry from Portos. Those are delicias. But delicias really means delights. So we could say that it says at your right hand our delights forevermore. How beautiful is that? How many of you delight in the presence of the Lord? Amen. Verse 5. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. Amen. In the time of trouble. It looks like there's a lot of time of trouble going around lately, doesn't it? When was the last time you were in time of trouble? Well, God is not promising us that we're not going to be in times of trouble, right? But he is promising us that if we seek him with all our heart, that he will hide us in his secret place, that he will set us high upon a rock. Imagine being high upon a rock and troubles are coming, and it's a time of trouble, but the troubles are just going around the rock, the times of trouble. Verse 6, And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. This part, I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord, took me back to another situation when I had just given my life to the Lord about 28 years ago. And there was one of the youth leaders that I looked up to, like a youth pastor. And I told him that I had started taking piano lessons, right? My honey knows who I'm talking about. He wasn't here. And so he told me this. He goes, "That's good that you're learning piano because you can't sing for nothing." And he was serious. He wasn't playing. He was serious. And that cut me deep inside to hear it from him. And that night I was crying in prayer to the Lord. I go, "Lord, why do you say that? Why?" I know. It hurt me. But the Lord told me, just sing to me. Don't worry about what he says. Don't worry about what other people say. Just sing to me. And I did. I've been singing praises to the Lord ever since. I don't care what. If you don't like the way I sing, the Lord does. Amen. And that's what we're here for, brothers and sisters. That's what we get here together. And that's why I think it's so much better with all of us here. I mean, the sound, the acoustic, all of us singing, it's just beautiful. Amen. We are to sing praises, even in times of trouble. Even how can we just scare the fears away? Hey, praising the Lord, singing praises to him. Paul said to the Ephesians in Ephesians 5:19, I got the New Living Translation on. It says, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts. No, so not just around ourselves, but making music to the Lord in your hearts, right? Isn't that beautiful? And it continues to say, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, David, his life was filled with gratitude to the Lord for all that the Lord did for him. How many times he delivered him. Are you grateful to the Lord for what he has done for you? Amen. Now, David was a man after God's own heart. He sought the Lord, and the Lord heard him, and the Lord delivered him from all his fears. Psalm 34:4 says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and deliver me from all my fears. And verse 6 and 7 says, this poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Out of all his troubles. From all my fears. Out of all his troubles. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Now, if we are to fear, if we have to have a top fear, let it be the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of all wisdom. Trusting God in times of fear. Now, brothers and sisters, in these times, in this culture of fear, let's seek the Lord more. Let's put our trust in him more. Let's believe in him more and more. As I said in the beginning, I'd just like to say it one more time. God is a fortress to those who put their trust in him. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for you are our light. Lord, you are my light. You are my salvation. You are the strength of my life, Lord. Thank you, Father, because I cannot do anything without you, Lord. And thank you, Lord. We just fill us with your Holy Spirit each in every day, Lord, and just help us walk pleasing to you, Lord. Always pleasing you, Father. I pray for anybody here that maybe it's being conquered by any fear, Lord, that you deliver him or her in this moment, Lord. That he or she just totally surrender to you, Lord, and just cry out loud, you are my light, you are my salvation, you are the strength of my life, Lord. Whom shall I fear? What shall I fear? In Jesus' name, amen.
Wow, right?
Yeah. Wow. Let's give a hand, Pastor Carlos. Wow. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for letting the Lord use you. Let's all stand together, and as we get ready to sing, let's just have that heart of victory. Let's just sing this song from that place of joy and victory that we have in Jesus. Because we have victory in Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
I'm sorry, what?
Amen.
Say that one more time.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. There we go. Heaven thunder.
Heaven thundered when the world was born. Life begins and ends in the dust you form. Faith commanded and the mountains grew. Fear is losing ground to our hope. Your praise forevermore, Jesus our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore, Jesus our God.
Come on.
Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore, Jesus our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore, Jesus our God, unstoppable. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on. Things in your name, they shall be done. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on and on and on. impossible things in your name, they shall be done.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah to the Lord. Amen. We'll see you guys here next Sunday. God bless you.